magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, August 4th, 2020. And some of you might ask, now, why does he always give the date and the year? I mean, come on, it's August. We know it's 2020. Well, these programs are always archived. And as a point of reference, if you tune in maybe a year or two from now, you'll know, oh, okay, that was on Tuesday, August 4th, 2020. So it's kind of a historical record, and it also enables us, when we archive it, to be available for future use. Or some of you may say, gosh, I love that program yesterday when on Memorization Monday they covered James 1-2, and what an interesting guest that Dr. Michael Nichols was. Wow, he's a pastor, he's an author, he's a professor, and I loved the clarity of his message and how he talked a little bit about James 1-2. I wish Mark would have said less because he had so much more to share. Well, he's back with us today. Thank you, Brother Mike, for being available, carving out time of your busy schedule. As mentioned, you're an author, a recent author, and this book that we're going to talk about in just a moment here, along with some of his testimony, titled Short Life, Living for What Matters During Our Few Days on Earth. I think today your publisher The people behind helping you market this or get the word out says today is the launching on Kindle and such. What was that?
Yeah, I actually have it right here. The publisher said that the ebook version of Short Life is available today, August 4th, and on Kindle, Kobo, Sony, Nook, Google Play, and Apple. The paperback version won't be available. The official launch date for that is November 24th, just 2 days before Thanksgiving. But the ebook version, as far as I know, from today on, is available.
So on Google or whatever your mechanism is for search, your search engine, type in Short Life and maybe Michael Edwards Nichols, N-I-C-H-O-L-S, and you can even purchase that today or begin reading it. And then if you want the paperback, is it in hardback too?
It's just paperback.
Okay, paperback. And I'm holding a early copy in my hand. It'll be available in about 3 months. Highly recommend it. In fact, in the short time that I've had it in my hand, I've been impressed by the points of application. Each chapter ends with life application, and there's some questions and gets you to think through the text. It looks like each chapter begins with a scripture verse or a special quote, and he's broken it into 40 different chapters. And so we're going to talk about that and break it down a little so you can be excited to get your copy in a few months, or maybe today you'll get the Kindle version and start reading it right away. But what I appreciate about you, Brother Mike, Pastor Mike, Dr. Mike, your transparency, your sharing yesterday, your knowledge of the scripture, your heart for young men or men maybe that didn't have a spiritual father or somebody pouring into their lives, your heart for your family. There was a fuller introduction. I won't spend all the time re-mentioning everything that was said yesterday because there's so much that I think can be shared today. But if you stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, and go to our archive programs link, you can hear a more formal introduction of Professor, Dr., Pastor Michael Nichols. And I think you'll be really encouraged by yesterday's broadcast. So if you missed it, go to greatnewsradio.org. But on Testimony Tuesday, we're going to talk a little about this book, Short Life. But also, I want to mention again the verse we covered yesterday, the James 1-2, that states, consider it pure joy. Some versions say great joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And you were sharing some of your faith journey just a little bit yesterday and your love story, meeting Julie and serving in Africa and then serving as a youth pastor and your role as a professor at Lincoln Christian University now and also serving as a pastor at the Mason City Christian Church, and you live in rural Greenview. You have 3 adult children, 3 grandchildren, been married to Julie for 37 years. But what I appreciated yesterday, you were sharing a little about some of your faith journey, and you alluded to not having the best modeling from your father and maybe others in your early faith journey. So on this Testimony Tuesday, take us through a little of that faith journey, and then we'll dive into your book a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate the chance to talk about my faith journey. Jumping off of the scripture we used yesterday, just want to say the various trials and afflictions that we have, they kind of come in 2 different ways to us. One is sometimes we are sinned against by other people, and those are trials. And sometimes it's our own sin that we commit. And I'm just like everybody else. I'm a mixture of both of those. Mm-hmm. And I would say some of the hardest trials I've ever had in my life started when I was a boy, a child. And my dad, ironically, was a pastor, but he was also a very harsh father. And I love my dad. My dad just passed away at the end of May, and I've forgiven him for the way he treated me as a boy. And so I have a good relationship with my dad. I've had a good relationship for years. But when I was in his house, I had three brothers. Mm. There was a lot of emotional abuse, a lot of verbal abuse, and some of that was generational. His dad was an alcoholic, mm. and so it was passed down. And so that was a hard thing. Any kind of abuse, verbal and emotional. But there was another season, a very short season when I was a junior high boy, that I was actually sexually molested mm-hmm. by a family friend, by a man. And that's another huge journey that I've been on. So I've had two different forms of abuse when I was a young boy. And then when I was about 10, it was my first exposure to pornography. And I know a lot of people have been exposed to pornography now at very early ages. And I had a real struggle with that on and off through my life, and had some times when it really was compulsive and mm-hmm. addictive. And it's so cool to be able to stand here now and just say, hey, God has given me victory. And it's been a journey, because behind pornography, there's always questions. Well, why did you get involved in that? And there's always pain. There's always something you're numbing the pain. And God has given me a healing journey. So I actually wrote about all that stuff in Short Life. And I came to the point I wanted to write a book. And the impetus, to be honest, get me going was actually when I went out to the mailbox when I turned 50. I'm 62 now, mm-hmm. and I got that letter from the AARP.
I
thought it was like, I said, what is this? Why am I getting this? And I'm going, oh, 50. I'm 50. I must be getting old. And I've always wanted to write. And then actually 9 years before that, when I was 41, I won't go into the whole story, but three men that I knew mm-hmm. all died at 41 years old, when I was 41, and two had brain aneurysms, and one was a car wreck. And I think that's when God really started getting my attention about how short life is. And then when I got to be 50, I thought, man, there's so many life lessons I want to write about. And I felt called to write very transparently, very vulnerably, about really the only thing in life I'm really an expert on, and that's just my journey.
Right.
And so that's what I wrote about. And like I say, I tried to be as open as I can, because I want fellow people on this journey to be helped by this book. And so I did 40 short chapters. That could be like a 40-day spiritual adventure for someone to just read it one chapter at a time. It could be a 40-week spiritual adventure for an individual. I'm actually kind of hoping that pastors and church leaders would use this book for a sermon series, and I'm going to actually do one myself at Mason City in September and October, an 8-week sermon series. I'm going to videotape those. They're actually going to be on our website, and we're getting materials. The publisher's been very friendly, Morgan James. They're letting me have the graphics, and we're going to make some sermon bumpers, and so we're going to have some free stuff available on the website of the Mason City Christian Church that pastors could use, mm-hmm. and there'll be some lesson outlines, there'll be some sermon outlines. So I really want this book to be widely distributed, not just become a popular book. I just want it to help so many people. And this is going to sound a little self-serving, Mark, but to be honest, I read this book all the time myself, and mm-hmm. I wrote it. But it just encouraged me, and it reminds me of that lens of short life. And we say that phrase all the time. We say, life is short, life is short. And I've tried to come up with 40 different ways to say, well, how do you apply that? If life is short, then how should we live it? And so that's what I'm trying to do in this book. And especially the timing, I'm just so amazed at the Lord, you know, mm-hmm. with the whole pandemic and all the stuff. On the back cover, it talks about death, disease, disasters, accidents, violent acts. I mean, this just sounds like the newspaper here.
Right.
And the thing that's kind of shocking is I'm trying to ask readers to think about their death often. And it sounds morbid. It just sounds morbid to say, think about your death. But we do the opposite in our culture. We like push death away. We don't want to think about our own mortality. I feel like when we think about our death, that death can become a great teacher. And death can actually teach us how to live. Mm-hmm. And you know people that have been told by a doctor, you've got 3 months to live. You've got 3 years to live. You've got 1 to 2 years. Their lives change. Right. Why? Because their whole perspective changes. Right. And I tell the story of two LCU students who actually passed away, one at 26, and both of them from different forms of cancer, and one at 32. And here I am, a professor at 62. I've been at Lincoln for 25 years. I've actually lived the lifetime of two of my former students already. And so there's a sense in that I'm already living on borrowed time. And I get up every morning and I realize I don't know if this is going to be my last day. I don't know how many days I have left on earth. And it's a powerful thought to actually put those glasses on and say, okay, my life is short. I don't know what's going to happen, and I want to live for what matters and what's going to last. Mm-hmm. And so that's been the theme that ties the whole book together, but it's 40 topics that are all tied together with that biblical theme of the brevity of life.
And I like how you have these life application questions at the end of each chapter. And if you're like me, what you'll love about this book is most of the chapters are, say, 4 to 6 or so pages. And so in one setting, you can really read through the material and then ponder it, think about it, you know, look up the verse that maybe he alludes to and get the context of that or the quote that is made. And I love application. I love when I go to a sermon message and the pastor will divide God's word and then list points of application, or the Holy Spirit will bring conviction and say, yeah, work on that area or be conscientious or cognizant of that. And so it's really well written and it's filled with lots of stories. And you've really poured your heart into this because you're passionate about teaching and helping people grow in their relationship with God.
Yeah, part of my faith journey is in here, especially the chapter 4 is called The Beloved Life. Life is too short not to feel loved. And I shock people or surprise people sometimes when I say the greatest theological truth that's been hardest for me to believe is that God loves Mike. Mm-hmm. And that's growing up with an earthly father who was harsh. And so when I think about, you just asked me earlier today, you know, when was your conversion story? And I grew up in a pastor's home, so there was a natural progression of learning to love Jesus. But there was a point about 9 years old, when I was nine, that I truly started having even nightmares. I thought I was going to go to hell. Mm-hmm. I thought if I died, I'm going to go to hell, because I know I'm a sinner and I have no problem knowing I'm a sinner. And because of my dad's anger and his temper and harshness, I just viewed that God was mad at Mike and God was going to send Mike to hell. And so part of the motivation for me to get baptized and to make a public confession that I'm going to follow Jesus was actually fear. I was afraid of God. And that's been a lifetime journey for me to believe that God actually loves yeah. Mike, period. Not God loves Mike if I perform. And so even when I went to Congo, I think subconsciously, I worked really hard, and I found out later I actually worked too hard sometimes. I think I became a little bit of a workaholic. I realized later, looking back, that I was trying to earn God's favor.
Yeah, looking for approval.
Yeah, I was actually trying to earn both my earthly father's mm-hmm. approval and my heavenly father's approval. And I feel like that mixed up theology started to get healed or straightened out when I became a dad myself. And when my first daughter, Sarah, was born, you know, this is like 33 years ago or 35 years ago now, and she was born in Africa. By the way, that's something interesting about my family. 3 kids, all born in 3 different countries.
Yeah.
And that's another story. But Sarah was born in the Congo. Jason was born in Canada, my wife's country. And then my daughter, Sammy, was born here in the States. But so 3 kids in 3 countries. But when Sarah was born, I began this journey of knowing what a father's heart, what is a loving father like? And so like in Matthew, where it talks about God loves to give good gifts mm-hmm. to his children, I'll tell you a quick story about me at Lincoln. When I was a student there at Lincoln, I had a thought about being a professor someday. I thought, man, I'd really love to be a professor at a Christian university. But as soon as I had the thought, because my theology was so mixed up, I squashed it. And I said, well, that's got to be selfish. That can't be mm-hmm. from the Lord. That's something that only you'd want to do, Mike. Yeah. And I had no concept that what Mike really wanted to do with his life and what God wanted to do with Mike's life could ever be the same mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. And now I know, because as a daddy growing up, you know, in a daddy's heart, right. when your child has a birthday or maybe Christmas morning, you want them to open that gift and go, wow, is that right. for me? Right. That's what I wanted. And so now I have a view of God that he wants to give good gifts to his children. But that was a journey right. for me to get there. And I was afraid of God. But now I realize that, well, okay, Mike is God's beloved son. That's who you are, Mike. That's your core identity. It's not if you perform well right, enough. Right. And so that's just been a journey for me to get there.
Well, I'm thinking that's a journey that we all have to take, and most of us, if not all of us, are always constantly on. But how oftentimes we project onto Father God, Almighty God, the ways our earthly dad treated us. And I love to talk about this because I think we can oftentimes, and sadly so, indict God the Father, this holy, perfect, loving God that sacrificed it all. He gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for us. But we see our dads as workaholics or inept or vacated or dysfunctional or not there or abusive and even worse. So we have to be very careful on what we project onto God. But for that person that's tuned in, Mike, that maybe hasn't resolved that, they still are bitter, they're angry, they say, God, you allowed these things to happen to me. You allowed that abuse. Why did you stand there and let these things happen? How do you bring healing or hope or the truth of God into their minds so that maybe the healing process can begin to take place?
Wow, there's so many different directions you can go with that. And I actually just looked at the next chapter called The Forgiving Life, and there's a sense that we, if we don't forgive, if we don't forgive others for what they've done to us, and we don't forgive God, and I guess maybe one of the ways I'd take it, Mark, is actually lament. And I feel like when hard things happen, a third of the Psalms are Psalms of lament. And and so God's big enough to take it. And there have been times when I've said very angry things to God, and He takes that because He's a loving Father, and we can complain to God as long as we still have a heart to obey God and submit to Him. And so it's not blasphemous for you to just tell God how you feel. And then I think we need God's help to forgive people that have hurt us. The man who abused me as a child sexually, I've forgiven him. I don't know where he lives right now. I'd love to see him again right now and tell him that I forgive him and see if he's in a better spot in his life, kind of thing. But that was a journey too. Forgiveness is both an event and a process. But I think we need God's help to forgive at that level. And we have to remember that if we keep forgiveness, it's like keeping poison in your system. And so we need God's help. I would just tell that person, pour out your heart to God. He wants to hear how you feel. He knows you. He's present. And also ask Him to help you forgive, because that's the only way that wholeness is going to come in your life.
Now, who helped you understand the character of God? Because I think when we understand the depths of His love, His compassion, His mercy, that He's out for our best interest. I mean, then it's easier to come to Him. But how do you grasp it? How do you help somebody understand that God is good?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think it can come through Scripture. I think the Holy Spirit can illumine those texts, like God gives good gifts to His children in Matthew. And I think He uses people. I'm thinking of a guy right now named Larry, who was kind of a spiritual father to me in my first ministry at Greenview. I was a youth pastor there, youth minister, and he loved his family. He loved his kids. I saw him the way he treated people. And so I saw the example of a loving father. And then I would say I'd go back to my own journey with being a dad. I think I cried out, God, I don't know how to do this. God, I don't know how to be a dad. And so He taught me, I think, through the experience of being a father myself. So I think that shaping, that learning can come from lots of different avenues.
Yeah, I think of that verse, James 4:8, come near to God or draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. So if you're hurting or you're upset, and there's legitimate pain in this world, and God can take it. I mean, David, how many psalms like, you know, my father and mother forsake me, and various references of crying out or disappointed or disillusioned or upset. God can take our emotions. He can embrace you in your anger. I mean, some people have to write out terrible things and get it out of their system, but God is all embracing. He's caring. He's loving. He can bring healing and hope. And we certainly recommend, you know, find a professional, a counselor, a trusted friend, a pastor that can walk you through your emotions. And, you know, they need to be dealt with. And I think when you understand the compassion and the care and the shed tears that God, Jesus even cried out and shed tears when Lazarus, a friend of His, passed away. And so I think, Mike, this book, Short Life, Living for What Matters During Our Days on Earth, is a great insight into maximizing our time, living for the moment, living for God, bringing Him glory. I love the various, you know, I said points of application at each chapter, and just how you've written it, your storyteller. You've quoted C.S. Lewis and other people in this book. And if God was going to answer your prayers for this book, what would you hope was accomplished through people that read it?
Well, I think I would love for people to grab on to the idea that life is short and see it not just as a phrase that they say every once in a while, but actually become proactive and say, that's going to be the lens I look at my day. In the morning, I get on the edge of my bed, and one of my first prayers is, God, thank you that I woke up. Thank you that I'm here. Thank you for a new day. I don't know what's going to happen today. I don't even know how many days I have left on earth. But I'm gonna surrender to you. I'm gonna give this day to you. And that's an attempt to start a day out with the short life lens. I don't know how long I have to live here. So it's not just a phrase, and it's a biblical concept. And by the way, there's so many metaphors in the Bible. It talks about your life is like grass, your life is like flowers. David says, show me my life's end, you know, show me my measure of my days. And so the Bible is full of this brevity of life theme. And God is saying, hey, life is short, and live it for me, live it for glory, live it for things that matter. So my big dream is that this would become something that individual Christians and maybe even whole churches would take as, this is a perspective, this is a lens that everybody can use every single day, and it will change everything. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, when your life is short and you know you don't know how long you have, it changes your inner attitudes, right. It changes your outward behavior. That's actually, I kind of divided the book in two halves there. I've got basically that short life impacts your inner world, and it also impacts your outer world. And I don't want to be too grandiose with this comment, but I just think it does change everything. Right. If you can focus on your death and your mortality, I actually drive through a cemetery every Sunday morning before I preach, because it gives me perspective on life. It's like, wow, Mike, someday your body's going to be in the cemetery. So I want people to start putting their thoughts of their own mortality into a daily rhythm. And it could even be hourly. And trust me, it's not morbid. This is not to make you feel depressed. This is just the opposite. This is to make you come alive and to live the life that God wants you to live.
The book is titled Short Life, Living for What Matters During Our Few Days on Earth. And isn't it like God's providence or divine appointment, that today, this very day that our broadcast is going out, that it's available on Kindle and a number of other search engines you can find out. Just type in Short Life. It's available. But the paperback edition will be out in November, I think the 24th, a few days before Thanksgiving. So look for it. Short Life by Michael Edwards Nichols, Nichols. And you can also see the book cover on our Facebook page and our website, greatnewsradio.org. Stop by. And this program is archived along with Yesterday Memorization Monday, where Pastor, Doctor, Professor, Brother Mike was a part of that program, along with Today is archived at greatnewsradio.org. greatnewsradio.org. Well, thank you, Mike. I'm so encouraged by your testimony, by this book. I can't wait to finish reading it. And thank you for sharing on Memorization Monday. And may we all look at this day as not only a gift from God, but a brief moment that we can serve Him, that we can model Christ to a hurting world, that we can impact our family, our loved ones, our neighbors. Life is short. Let's make the most of it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.